If there's anything that tells us how we are going to feel most of today, I reckon how we're going to feel is full. Isn't it? Because Christmas Day is full of stuff, full of people. It's full of all sorts of good things. The Christmas tree is full of presents. Well, maybe not anymore, because you've attacked the tree this morning and opened everything. Or maybe your tradition is to wait till lunchtime or afterwards. Our houses are full of people, or they will soon be full of people at lunchtime as we go places, or they come to us and we enjoy Christmas Day together. And of course, we're going to be full of food and drink. And at least it's not too hot, because there's nothing worse than a hot Christmas afternoon when you're all sleepy and tired. And tomorrow, our cars are going to be full of luggage as we all go off on holidays to our favorite places. And that's really good. Christmas is a good time to be full, because Jesus was full. Jesus was full of God. Not full of presents, not full of food. We focus on all the peripheral things, things that are nice but not necessary. Today's passage focuses on the fullness that really matters. And the first fullness that matters is how Jesus was full of God. So verse 19 of our passage, it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." Baby Jesus in the manger, crying, needing Mary to look after him and clean him, needing Joseph to look after him and clean him. That helpless little baby, most of us know what babies are like. We've had them, or at least we've seen our brothers and sisters or something like that. Children are helpless. They can't do anything. There's nothing more dependent and useless in the sense of not able to do anything, if you know what I mean, than a newborn baby. And in that baby, helpless, dependent, we have God on earth. It's a miracle. We cannot explain it in any way. People over the centuries and millennia have tried to explain away, or explain at least in some sort of understandable way. What does it mean that in Jesus we have God himself? We can't. It's a miracle. It's God being kind to us by sending his son to hang out with us. So the first thing for us to think about at Christmas time, as we enjoy everything else, is, do we worship Jesus? Worship him as God on the earth. Yeah, well, I've come to earth, haven't I? No, that's not what I mean. Coming to church is not necessarily the same as bowing down and worshiping Jesus. Well, yeah, I'm a good person. I mean, I haven't hurt anyone. No. We're still talking about you. I'm talking about Jesus. Never mind me. The Bible's talking about Jesus. Do we come to Jesus? And do we celebrate even this day? A day worth celebrating. Nothing wrong with the celebration. But do we celebrate this day as the day that the God who made the universe, the God to whom we are accountable, to whom we must answer, that same God came to hang out with us, to say, "G'day, how's it going?" to share food with his people. Now, why did Jesus come? Why did God bother to come and hang out with us? It's so that, and this is the second thing about being full. So, Jesus is fully God. The second thing about being full is, it's Jesus came to give us a full relationship with God so that we could be full. Verse 20 says, the first half of verse 20 says, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace. Now, to reconcile, what does it mean to reconcile? I used to be an accountant. To reconcile stuff means to make it agree, which is pretty much the meaning. To reconcile people, which is here we're talking about relationship, means that if we've got someone who's been having a fight, we bring them back together so that instead of war, we have peace. That's what the verse says, by making peace. Now, we don't think about this normally, but do you realize that we have declared war on God? Now that's a strange idea. What do you mean war on God? I'm just going along minding my own business. I'm trying to be nice with people. Yes, but let's think of it this way. Christmas time, for many of us, or certainly we'll know people, Christmas time is not a time of peace. It's a time of battles. I looked up the internet, and apparently the police expect today, Christmas Day, to attend between 120 and 130 incidents of domestic violence. That's just what they're expecting. They're used to it. That's one every 10 minutes on average. And it's because of alcohol, money worries, and family tension. People sort of have to do the Christmas lunch thing. And so they come together, and then old jealousies, old angers, old bitternesses come up, and they have a shouting match and someone storms out. Perhaps some of us here, perhaps we're not looking forward to Christmas lunch for that very reason. We're nervous. What's going to happen? Or it's just awkward and it's just a relief when it's over. Why is Christmas Day a day of war? Why do we fear it ourselves, or why do we know people who fear it? Because we have declared war on God. We don't live His way. We don't pay attention to Him. We don't worship Jesus as we should. None of us do it. That is why Jesus came to make peace. That is why Jesus came for what the Bible calls sinners. When the Bible says sinners, it doesn't mean very bad people who deserve to go to jail. It means ordinary people like you and me who ignore God, think we can make life our own way, and in so doing, declare war on God, and so suffer the consequences of war in our ordinary lives. Jesus came to make peace. How? The second half of verse 20 tells us how. By making peace through His blood shed on the cross. That was a fantastic little carol for the children that we sang. Remember the lollipop, the Christmas candy cane, red for His blood, and white for the purity that His blood washes us clean. Usually, when we're having a fight in the family, we demand that the person in the wrong apologizes. I mean, that makes sense, isn't it? They hurt me. They insulted me. They didn't do the right thing. Let them say sorry, and I'm going to wait. And of course, everybody's blaming everybody else. So all that happens is we're just waiting for each other to apologize. But let's suppose it does work. All right. Someone comes and says, all right, I'm sorry. Oh, don't we just love that? We enjoy it because we make them suffer and we get up on our flesh for what they've done to us. Don't we? God is exactly the opposite. Christmas Day celebrates how God is exactly the opposite, because He is the one whom we have rejected. He's the one we've spurned, and He comes to say, it's okay. I'm going to pay the cost. I'm going to do what's needed to fix this relationship. And not only that, instead of saying, and I'm going to make you suffer and exact what I deserve from you, He says, I'm going to take the punishment. I'm going to wear the consequences of all the stupid things you have done to hurt me. This is the amazing truth. The grace. What was that the DVD that you got? Grace Stories? Grace Tale. This is the tale of grace, the story of grace that Christmas Day is. So this is the second reason why being full is good on Christmas Day. Jesus came as fully God. And He came to give us a full relationship with God. So here's one warning. Don't be so full this Christmas that you're too stuffed for Jesus. See, the problem with Christmas is there's so much fun. There's so many good things. Oh, the presents, the holidays, the food, the family. We can get distracted by the peripheral nice things and forget what the day is really about, Jesus. Don't do that. It's rude. Imagine going along to someone's birthday party and we say hello to all the other guests, we play games, we stuff our faces, and then we leave. And we've forgotten to even greet the birthday boy or the birthday girl. Now that's rude, right? And we would totally understand if we did that, if we weren't invited back next year. What about God? Happy birthday, Jesus. Excellent turkey, chicken, dessert, all my friends, the holidays, yay! Remember today, Jesus is the reason for the season. Why is it good to be full this Christmas? We celebrate Jesus, who is fully God. We celebrate the fact that he came to give us a full relationship with God. So be careful. Don't be so full of all the other stuff this Christmas that we forget to worship Jesus. Let's pray. And when we pray, I'm going to pray a particular prayer. Anyone who has realized just now that you have not been worshiping Jesus like you should. Anyone who's just realized that you want to start worshiping Jesus as fully God and come to that full relationship with him. If you want to pray that prayer and start a new life with this Jesus, then just in your head, silently, pray this part of the prayer with me as I pray. Please bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray. We thank you, Father God, that you sent your Son Jesus, that he came to give us a full relationship with yourself. It's an amazing thing that you would send your Son to die and rise for us. We don't deserve it. We deserve the opposite. But we thank you that you are a God who gives us gifts, who gives us good things that we need. We now pray particularly for anyone here who desires this full relationship for the first time. We pray, Father God, that they would come to you and worship Jesus as fully God. We pray that they would admit that they have declared war on you. We pray that they would thank you and crash down at the cross where your Son, who once was in the manger, but he grew up to be a man, and as a man gave his body, gave him his life to death for us. We pray that they would worship that Christ on the cross, and that you would raise them up as they see the empty tomb, for Jesus did not stay dead, but he came back, defeating death forever. So we pray that in the name of Jesus, who came as a baby, died on a cross, and rose again, we pray that they would enjoy that full relationship with you. In his name, the name of the crucified and risen Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.